are. Now, before we get started, just want to let you know. So one of our people, one of our members, so there's a family, a couple families out this morning. Of course, there's always somebody on vacation, but I did last night, got a phone call. So one of the one of our Brittany's, not my Brittany, but the other Brittany, had gotten a vehicle accident last night. So basically just got another text. That's where Scott and them, they're still there. So she had an accident last night. He called me at 1. I think he called Phil Marlowe around 2 or something like that. Anyway, so there was an accident. I don't want to get all the details because me and Phil are still uncertain of what all the details were. But it didn't seem like she broke anything, but now she's got stitches on her eye. She's got some other things going on there. But the big part of it is she did hit her head, so she's under some kind of concussion piece there. So she's still at the hospital. So they asked us to pray, and this is the house of the Lord, and we're going to pray. As I said before, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later, that we're a church that prays, but we're not a praying church yet. We're a church that prays, but we're not a praying church yet. But we're going to get there, okay? So let's go to the Lord, and we're going to pray for Brittany. Brittany's got 2 kids and a husband, and I'm sure that is, with all that going on there, it's pretty scary for them as a family. So, Father, Lord, we do thank you again for a time that we can come to you with these requests, Lord, today. And, Lord, today we just want to put out Brittany to you in front of all of us today, knowing that she was in an accident. We're unclear of all of it, but we know that you know what all has pertained and all what has happened. We pray, Father, that you would just keep this concussion, Lord, to a bare minimum. We pray, Father, Lord, she'll be able to recover through this. And we ask, Lord, your hand would be upon her and her family through this time and through the doctors and nurses that take care of her. We lift her up to you as a sister in Christ today because we love and care for her and her family. We lift her up to you, Jesus, in the name that is above all names, your own name. Amen. 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 So we are here in our worship this morning, and I just want to say that we are in this series, The 7 Churches, and we have to put that aside for a moment. We did go through the Church of Ephesus and the Church of Smyrna in the last couple of weeks, but we are just kind of slightly putting that to the side. We'll pick it back up next week and finish up the other 5. But right now, this is our week every year in August that we come up and we redo what we prayed and fasted for. So reminder, if you've not been part of that, in January every year, we come to a place where we pray together as a church, we fast, and we ask God to intervene in such a way that is way beyond our own means. And it is amazing what God has done since we started doing that. Our role is not to come and sit in the pews and sit there and listen to some people entertain us and listen to some guy up there preach and make us feel good or make us just, no, part of it. And we are to do it together. Amen? We are to do it together. And prayer and fasting, we're going to be doing that. So our prayer and fasting will begin. Our prayer and fasting will begin on Tuesday at 6 p.m. and we'll end on 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Now, you all know in January, we may go through a 3-day fast or a full 5-day fast or 21. We did a 21-day Daniel fast, and we've done different types of fasts. And it doesn't matter how you prepare yourself. They're all hard. But it is amazing to see what God has done. So we know that we have done, and we have some things we're going to talk about this morning. So it's a little bit of a different service. But this is to gear us up for prayer and fasting this week because things take time and God has the timing. So today we're going to revisit what we prayed and fasted for, how things are coming along, and we're going to use God's word and see how God's word is working with that. So I'm going to remind you of a couple of things you've heard before, but I want to remind you we can't go through all of them. But I just want to remind you of some major highlights that we've had. And so through looking through the past, since we started the prayer and fasting, I believe we started in 2018. And so we had prayed that the first prayer fasting we did, we asked God to not give us a visitor for 6 months. And so my pastor peers and my pastor and my friends and those said that, well, that's just crazy. Churches are supposed to grow. And I said, not when you're trying to get your hearts right with the Lord and you're trying to become spiritually in tune with the Holy Spirit and do and find out what God wants. You need to be worried about where God is leading and strengthening yourself spiritually. And then the rest will come when God sees fit. Doesn't mean we can't do things, but we asked God in that moment not to give us a visitor for 6 months. And folks, we didn't get a visitor for 6 months at any of our regular services at all. And the very next week when I said, on a Wednesday, I said, we ready for it? 6 months is up. Church looked around and said, I think we're ready. On Sunday, we had somebody that come off the street, and it was our visitor. What God was saying, it says, I'm watching your prayer and fasting. Folks, I can tell you, if we went back to some prayer and fasting across the country, I think some things would change in our country. For some reason, in the Old Testament, men and women prayed and fasted. Esther prayed, Esther fasted. We see Nehemiah did it. We see all the great leaders, the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible. They all prayed. Jesus prayed and fasted. And we see the apostles doing it. Why do we not do it? Well, we're trying to do a better job of that here. And so next year we will implement and we will put in two more probably days of prayer and fasting throughout the year. And our big one will continue to be in January. But what we did is some of the things that we prayed and fasted for, that God will give us no visitor for the first 6 months of that year. And we've got none. And we were working on resetting ourselves. Major piece. Usually when you go and you pray and fast for something, usually you're asking God to do and give you something. What we asked God was not to give us something, and that was, I'm telling you, that was a big move, and God blessed that. And then we asked God that we would, these are not in order, that God would bring us four couples into our church. Four couples in our church. We needed some couples in our church. This church is very strong with singles. We get a lot, and that's cool, that's great. And we have a lot of young people, that's great. But here it is, we asked God to give us four couples in our church. We prayed and fasted for that. And 2 months later, we lost a couple, one of our most committed couples here. They went off to do ministry in another place. And so we lost that. So we were praying and fasting for five, and we were down the hole by one. By the end of the year, because a part of that was that God would bring us four, and would bring somebody that knew about discipleship that would help us along with discipleship. And so we had so what happened was, it kind of shocked. How are we going to get to four when we just lost one, and now we lost one, and we got to pick up four. Now we're in five, and you're in February. But here's what God did throughout the year. He brought us four couples along that rest of that year. And then on the last one, he brought Mr. and Mrs. Jones, a retired pastor who's key in his stuff and what he does is discipleship. So that comes from prayer and fasting. Folks, we either believe that God can do things or we believe He can't do things. We either pray specifically that God will do something. Sometimes you put a number on it and it's okay. Not just, Lord, give me a good day. Lord, let me be a good servant. Lord, let me just make it really vague and really broad. No, narrow that thing down. Be like Joshua. Lord, let the sun stand still. We got to fight the battle right here. And God did it. When you get specific, God is amazing in what He can do. And we also asked that God would give us that we would ask for a men's house. And He did it. We asked for another, we also asked for, when we did the women and children's house, we asked for a house that we can work with women and children. Now it's women again, but we asked for another house, and He did that. And then we asked the Lord to give us, in short, 25 baptisms in 2 years. And on the very last Sunday, prior to the next prayer and fasting Sunday, we finished up 25 baptisms. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So, we did those things. We prayed for those things. We had 25 light bulbs back there, and we thought, when are they ever going to be turned? And it was always awesome to see somebody that baptized can come up there and turn a light bulb on. And we had a whole strip of 25 light bulbs that were all, that had no light. And God showed us what He can do. And then we asked God for a children's house, that we can have foster care, for respite care, for children that are in crisis. And so that house, we had purchased that house, and this wasn't part of the prayer and fasting at the time, but it was prior to that, and we prayed over that, and God gave us the money to buy that house. But here we are now, we pray and fasting for that, and we'll come to that a little bit later. But we also asked that God would be able we prayed and fasted that God would be able to fix the bricks that were falling off this building, and we didn't have the funding and all that, and he did that as well. Because Luke 1:37 says this, for with God nothing will be impossible. Now I don't know, but that's the God I serve. That's the God I serve today. So folks, I want to share with you some scriptures I believe that are powerful, that I believe that these are scriptures that work. And so again, this is a little bit of a different service, but here we are in this moment where we're like 8 months into this prayer and fasting, and we've got some things on the list, and we're going to talk about those things. But I want to share some things with you out of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to kind of rattle these off. We will be in Matthew chapter 7 here in just a short bit, but I'm going to go ahead and put these forth. So here it is. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's faith over worry is what it is. It's faith over worry. We worry so much. And if God holds the stars in his hands, he has you and I in his hands, why are we worrying so much? Why are we worrying so much? So here it is. We don't worry about anything, but it's in everything through prayer. And we do that, faith over worry. But we also see in John 15:7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. There's the God's will. And so here it is. This is a thing called commitment. Not that I'm committed just to pray. I'm committed to live my life for him. I'm not committed that I just receive salvation, but that my life, that one that gave his life for me, that I, to give me life, I gave my life back. You give your life back to him. So if you remain in me, he says, my words will remain in you. We're together. We're committed. Now listen, in commitment, Jesus always keeps this commitment. Unfortunately, we don't always keep ours. But even the scripture says when we are faithless, he is still faithful. So if it's not working out and you feel like, oh, it's not working out, sometimes it's us not allowing it to work out. But sometimes God says it's not the right moment. So that's why we have to be committed to him, so that we can be in tune and with the Holy Spirit and know how to discern what the Holy Spirit is speaking instead of just what our mind is speaking or what others are trying to speak into our life. And then also, James tells us in 4:3, it's about our motives. What's our motive of all these things that we're going to talk about? He said, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. That doesn't mean God doesn't bless us and things that we, you know, to take care of our bills and to buy a home, do those things. But it means that when we ask, we don't receive because we're asking just to spend it upon ourselves. Today, every one of these is not about us as individual. It's about what God has called us to do. And then we look at the joy in the Lord. I think we sang a song like that this morning, the joy in the Lord. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Wow. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Folks, our heart's desire is to continue to serve him in a way that only he can do. So I want to share with you some things that we have today. On your bulletin, there are some things, but I also want to go into Matthew chapter 7. And so as we process through this, I'm going to look at these things. Now, this is the biggest list we've ever had since through the times of prayer and fasting. There has 7 things on here, but there are 4 things that I have down at the bottom. These are 4 things that we can do in our own. We can do this with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we should be able to do these. We have a lot of input in how this comes out. That's the 4 at the bottom. These are things that we can do. Number 1, we can pray. We can pray more. We can pray. That's what I was talking about, becoming more of a church that we are a church that prays, but we need to learn how to be a praying church, not just a church that prays. Now, I want to challenge you on Wednesdays. If you've not been here on Wednesdays, I don't say when we're going to do it but I'm going to say it today. The last Wednesday of this month, we are doing what we've been doing the last few months, and it's a special prayer service. I'm telling you, if you come, you will walk out here a different person. in the way you think about prayer. It's nothing. I'm not special, but the Lord is special. It's how we're doing it and what we're doing. It's nothing magical about it, but what it is, it's getting in front of the Lord and praying. It's not embarrassing anybody or any of those things. But I want to tell you, I've never heard more positive comments and things that how it's worked through them. And I've heard people even speak up that I thought would never speak up. And no one's called upon to do something. But I'm challenging you to come on a Wednesday. And if you just try it, and we're doing it once a month right now, we're trying to figure out what it looks like to become a praying church, not just a church that prays, but a praying church. And I want to tell you, when the church becomes a praying church, I'm telling you, it will change the community. I'm telling you, it'll change the community. Down there at the bottom also, it says, what else can we do? Praise at next level. We're trying to work that out. We're working that out. That's kind of a combo with one of the other ones up there. But we're trying to make the effort in what we can do. And I think we made some effort in what we can do. We just need the Lord to do His part in His time. And we'll come back to that. Number three, prepare, which means better in preparation. And if you know me, sometimes we have to do things just really quick, short notice. And folks, I'm going to tell you why that is. One is just me sometimes, and I don't like it. And sometimes you think, but listen, when you're trying to operate a church and making sure I don't have to put my hands on a lot, but like the soup kitchen, the women's shelter, the men's shelter, and this new orphanage, this new foster care, and being a part of a lot of other things, I'm telling you, a lot of things will just be done kind of quickly. So give me some grace on that, amen? I hope you do, all right? Give me some grace on that. And then the last part is participate. Serve in some capacity. Listen, if you've been a member of our church, you need to serve somewhere. You need to figure it out. There is a time when you go sit on, there's a time when you kind of like in NASCAR, you can go into the pit box for a minute and just kind of calm down. You kind of reset, work on some things personally. But then can't stand there too long. You got to get back out. Because the longer you stay, you'll stay longer than you thought you were going to stay. Sometimes there's a time for healing, those kind of things. So those are things that we just continue. I look at that list. You can look at that list and say, Lord, I need to work on these areas in my life. And those are things that you can work on personally. And as you work on them personally, it also strengthens our church as we do church together. Now I want to talk about the seven pieces here that we have prayed and fasted for. I can't remember. Was our prayer fast 3 days this last year? Was it 3 days? 4 days? 5 days? I can't remember. I just know, is it 3 days? You have 3 days. So, now maybe you did extra. You can do extra if you want. So, folks, I'm telling you, fasting can be hard. If you're a caffeine drinker, it's the first thing that'll hit you. You'll start getting headaches because you stop drinking coffee or you stop drinking your Mountain Dew or your Pepsi. And if you decide to do it that way. But I believe fasting is food. I know some of us can't because we have to do certain things. You just work that out with the Lord the way you need to. You need to make sure you're healthy and doing that. But you can continue to pray, even though you may not be able to do the fasting part. It doesn't make you less of a person. God knows your heart. Amen? God knows your spirit. Knowing that you want to, but your body says you can't. But you can pray, all right? So our prayer and fasting was 3 days last year, or earlier this year. We prayed, number one, we prayed that God would physically grow this church. Now, remember what I said back in 2018, we prayed that God would not give us a visitor for 6 months. That should show you the heart that we're not praying just to have people. We're praying that we may make an impact into the community and making an impact in a way that we're sharing the gospel. And that's another word a lot of churches are not using anymore. We got to remember the gospel is the story of Jesus Christ and His saving power. And His resurrection. And so we prayed and fasted that God would physically grow this church. Now I want to share something with you. We've been praying and fasting for that throughout a few years. But let me just share something with you. In 2018, we're at 59 people. 59 people. Now, first of all, you think, how in the world can we do all these ministries with 59 people on the average? You can't unless the Lord is involved in it. 2019, on our Sunday morning service, we went to 63. 2020, we went to 66. 2021, we went to 68. Of course, there's some COVID stuff in there. But COVID, didn't hurt us. And in 2021, we went to 68. 2022, we went to 85. And this year, we're at 95. You don't go from 68 to 95 unless you're praying about it. We don't need another 100 people in here just because we have good, if people want music, or we're working on this live band, or we're working on whatever, or people want to come in here. I don't want that. I want people to come in and seek the Lord, not music. I want to seek the Lord, not a preacher. I want to seek the Lord and how they can walk and draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I come on Sunday. He's called me to. It's right. It's biblical. I want to get, there's something about a worship service in the Lord. And there's times when I don't preach and one of the other guys preaches or I'm somewhere else and I need to just intake what God has given to me at that moment as well. So 95 is what our average is. But here's the one I really like. It's Wednesday night. We used to do Sunday night Bible studies and all that, and we got rid of that. And I took a little heat on that, but that's okay. But Wednesday, just in 2020, we were 31 people here on a full worship service. Now, our worship service is a little different on Wednesday night. There's a prayer, more of a prayer emphasis, and prayers and testimony. But we do have preaching and singing as well. And we started at 6:34, if you didn't know. 6:34, right? So, 2021, we started with 31 people. 31, okay? 31 people, and that's, so 31 people. And then in 2022, we went to 44. This year, we're at 51. Now, I've talked to my pastor peers who's got 200 people in their church on Sunday mornings. And we started talking about Wednesdays. He said, Wednesdays? What are you talking about, man? I can't even get 20 people at church on Wednesday. He goes, where are you at? I said, we're in like 50. What? What are you guys doing? We're just doing worship. What? So here, it's not a bragging moment, but this is what happens when you pray and you fast. And you let God take the handlebars. You let God take the wheel. Just listen. Just let the Lord drive you. Don't be a backseat driver, but just let the Lord drive. He's in control. So, New Life Fellowship will physically grow. You know what? It's growing. Amen? Thank you, Lord. It is growing. It is growing. Let me just look. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Woo! Ask and it will be given to you. God is not a genie in a bottle. Jesus is not a genie in a bottle. Holy Spirit, no. No. But he says, ask and it will be given to you. Here's the thing. When I'm asking and I speak, we speak together to the Lord, to the Holy. We are speaking. Listen, we know him and he knows us. See, the Lord knows everyone, but not everyone knows him. So when I'm talking to him, I'm not talking to him as a stranger. I'm not talking to him. I'm not praying to him as just God. I'm praying and speaking to him as God, as a Savior, as a Creator, as a Master, as all those things, all those titles that he is. And the Lord loves to give. So we ask the Lord to give us an increase in our physical growth of the church. And he did that. You know what? We just experienced over this last year the power of this verse. Let me read it now when you understand that you have that we experienced the scripture verse and its power, the power of Jesus' words. He said, ask and it will be given to you. We asked, and he gave. Man, am I in a Southern Baptist church or not? The Lord gives. Was the motives selfishly? No. Was it the motives for self-seeking? No. It was to glorify the Lord that he had planted this church, that it's growing for his purposes, not ours. Ask and it will be given to you. That's what he said. Another one that we all, number two is a praise band. Now, guys, we are working on that. It is all over the place. But this is what I know. When you think it ain't going to happen, you need to get out of the way and shut up and step out to the side, because God does what he does in his timing. Folks, when we prayed, that God, God would give us four couples, he took a couple right out. And test your faith. He tested our faith. When we asked for 25 baptism, and it was all the way up to 2 weeks before it was over, tested our faith. I'm still praying. So we're going to pray and we're going to fast that God will bring forth what needs to be done for this praise band. I'm not giving up on that. So we need to see it. Everybody can have an opinion, but here it is. When you have a problem and something's not working the way you need to do, you know what you do? You go right here. Right here. This could be in your home. This could be in your car. But you go right here. In the foot, you just drop in front of the Lord. Some of us haven't been on our knee. I know some of us can't, but some of us needs to get back to some knee bending and getting before God and pray. And the praise band is a part of you. You want to do it. You need to get serious about it. But even if it's not, you know what? There's nothing more powerful than when you start praying for somebody else and you put a lot of time in on someone else and you really get to that part and you wrestle in that prayer for someone else, not just yourself, and you pray for someone else. Try it sometime. Don't pray for yourself. Just go in, I'm going to pray for someone else today. I'm going to spend 5-10 minutes. I'm going to spend a moment. I'm just going to pray for someone else today, and I'm going to lift up their name up to Jesus. So the praise band, we need to continue to pray about that. Don't give up on that. We're only 8 months into this thing. Number three, that church building, balcony and offices and our HVAC system will be completed. Now, folks, I want to tell you that's a lot in there. But the balconies, we got the outer part of the balcony ceilings done. They were chipped. That all was done this year. The office is over there for the most part. The HVAC system, we got AC on that side of the building. For the most part, if you've been working here in the last few years, or you've been in here on the weekdays, it's hot over there. But that was a big move, and that a lot of that is happening right now. We're almost done with that one, and we're almost done, and the Lord has really worked that one out. And thankful for the guys that's done some of the work, the mission teams that come in. Listen, folks, I've looked in some of the old books that we had. Sometimes we were getting 7 mission teams a year from across the country, 5 mission teams a year. Now it's like down to like 3, 2. But the team that come in this year, they did a great job up there. Most of the guys, there was only like one guy that would climb up on 4 scaffolding pieces up there. But you know who did it? 2 women. Yeah? Yeah. The guys would take the stuff up to the ladies, and the ladies would say, they were like, and one of the ladies says, I am so scared to death, but I come on a mission trip. And I'm going to do this job. And you know what? It looks pretty good to me. We still got some stuff in the middle, but that outer part, it was a lot of work. This is a 100-some-year-old building. This thing is falling apart. We're trying to get it back to where it needs to be. So we're almost done with number 3. Number 4, it's a God thing. All of them are a God thing. New Life Ministries. Now, our church is New Life Fellowship. We have a side ministries that comes under the umbrella of the church. So the church is here. We have all these ministries, the soup kitchen, the men's house, the 2 women's homes, the children's house, all that stuff, the old church across the street, all that comes underneath the church. And we're asking the Lord this year for whatever. We just need $700,000. Now listen, I'm not coming to any of you asking for any funds. I'm not going to do it. One, this church don't have it. But I know who does. It's not the bank down the street. It's not the big factory across town. It's the Lord. Lord owns everything. Everything. You know what I always say? Lord, it's coming. He just hasn't given it to us yet. But also know this, I have a fleshly side that stresses sometimes. I have a flesh side that has struggles sometimes when I see bills. I see things come across. And you guys have heard me share this many times. What church, and it's not bragging, it's just where God has put us. It's not even a boat. What church has 7 electric bills? What church has 7 water bills and 7 gas bills? Internet all over the place. You'll find very few. And if you do, you'll find him in very large churches. So what can we boast and brag upon? What can we lift up? That we are great people? No. That we have a lot of fun, some money? No. That we got a lot of people in town that goes to this church that can change a lot of things just by writing a check? No. But what do we have? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God who sits on the throne. Jesus sits at the right hand interceding for the children of God. So $700,000 really is, you think about it, it is a lot of money. But when you think about it in the way and through the eyes of a believer, through the Father who owns everything, it's nothing. So somewhere in it, we have to lean upon the Lord. And remind you, I think our budget for the church, our budget's like $160,000 a year. That's a small budget for a church. But the ministries is like 400, is it 400? 400,000. That doesn't make sense. So the $700,000 that we're asking God to bring, we're doing it not to just go out and spend it, but there are purposes that we need that for. I'm not going to go through all that, but there are purposes and reasons we need that. And number five. That the meal ministry will begin serving weekday lunches. We started this in January. We started this prayer and fasting in January. This is the one that is working. This is 100% moving right now. It started in February, so instead of just doing 7 nights a week doing a meal, we are doing not just 7 nights a week, but we are doing Monday through Friday, we're doing lunches down at the soup kitchen as well. I eat twice a day. I eat twice a day. Most of you do too. So should we not provide another meal for people that need a meal? So we do that. And the Lord has blessed that. The Lord has blessed that. Listen, remember the scripture says, for much is given, much is acquired. Right? Number six, it says the Children's Lifehouse. That is will be open in 2023. We had a couple of dates we were trying to open it this year, but it will open, I believe. Trevor and Tabitha, I don't even know if they're here today. Yeah, there's one of them. Yeah. So they are actually moving in this month. Amen? Amen. So that's going to happen. Yes. So, folks, that's going to happen. And it doesn't happen this year. This started happening a year ago. Carla said, hey, the house next door for the Women's Life House is going up for sale. What? Oh, man, Carla, we can't afford anything. She said, well, I think you at least should go over and talk to him. So I went over and talked to him, and I was like, what? He said, $99,900. It's a $100,000 home. I'm like, oh. And I got back over here on the parking lot. This Holy Spirit just inspired. Go back and say, what is the bottom dollar? Came back and said, hey, what's the bottom dollar, man? What is the bottom dollar? And he took a second, and he said, $65,000. And I was like, $65,000 to us, that's like another $100,000. It doesn't, $200,000, we just don't have it. But then I came out of my mouth, I said, how long do we have? You got like 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I got to put it up for sale. He said, I'd give it to you, but I owe $40,000. I think he said he owed $45,000 left on the house and a $20,000 tax bill he had to pay for himself personally. So $65,000. Folks, I'm going to tell you, just some praying. And a few phone calls, not asking anybody, just sharing the story. $65,000. We got $65,000 within 2 weeks, like 10 days. You know why that come to be? Because God has a vision. And then we pray and we fast that we would be ready to do what God has for us. So that's that. And then number seven, that the old church building, which I know some people struggle with, the old church building across the street will have its purpose and phase plans to complete. Now, I can mark that one off, but I'm not 100% in my own heart and spirit, so I'm just not there yet. We needed to buy the building, folks. I'm telling you, we need to buy the building. I don't want to get into why a lot of it, but there was someone that wanted to buy it and turn it into something that we would be right next to something that was speaking and leading things that was complete opposite of what we're doing. And we also need parking. And so, these are the seven things that we have prayed and fasted for. These are the seven things that we have prayed and fasted for. And we have experienced the hand of God doing and answering these prayers and these things that we pray and fast for. And we are praying and continually going to pray Tuesday. You can begin to pray today, but that fast kicks off on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. through Wednesday, 6 p.m. I'm going to pray that you will pray about these. That's why it's in the bulletin. You can take this with you, and you can pray over these things. Now, what I would ask you to pray for, not just the one that you have a favorite for, but pray for the one that you struggle with. The one where you lack the most faith in. Oh, I don't know if God can really do that 700,000. I don't really understand that one. Or maybe it's the praise band, or maybe it's something else. Pray for the one that you might have an attitude with, or the one that you struggle that believing that God's. That's the one you need to wrestle with. That's the area you need to grow and let God work with you on those things. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone who receives, for everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What this is saying is that we need to draw to Jesus Christ himself. We need to be speaking to him about the things that matter into our life. If we're asking for something, we need to know that we're not asking to someone that doesn't answer, but the one that loves to answer and the one that loves to give. If we're seeking answers, we're seeking whatever it may be, we need to know that through the Holy Spirit that we will be able to find. He will lead us to find what we're seeking. And if it is something where we feel like a door is closed or we need a door to close, or door to open, we know we cannot do it in our own power, but he can unlock doors that we cannot unlock. And he can lock doors that need to be locked. Can't be in two rooms at the same time. Sometimes God says, this door, you need to push you through, shut the door behind you so you don't go back in that room no more, because there's another place he wants to take you. But you must trust him in the whole process, folks. Not just in the receiving part, but you must trust the Lord in the whole process. From the moment that you spoke, he heard it. From the moment you thought about praying about it, he heard it. I challenge you to read the book of Daniel. Before the moment when you said it, he heard it. I want to tell you today, we're not serving in a church that is dead. We're serving in a church that is alive. And it's not because we're alive, it's because he's alive. We seek him in all that we do. And I am so thankful for his grace. I am so thankful for his mercy. I'm so thankful for his forgiveness. Folks, we messed up a lot here. Folks, we're like every other church. We've got people that are struggling with sin in our congregation that can't shake something. We got people that, just like in other churches, we've got Christians that have lied to one another. We've got Christians who don't like, we got believers who don't like one another. We need to work on that, folks. But I want to tell you, God's mercy is amazing. God puts up with a lot. He really does. But what he wants is he wants us to follow his lead. He wants us to draw to him. He wants us to lean on him and believe that he can do all things. All things. There's nothing that's impossible before him. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. You know what? This is the greatest ride of my life. You know why? Because I'm not doing it alone. Of course, I have my wife. And we do life together. But even our own lives would not be what it is without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is everything. He is everything. And when the end times come, he's still everything. He is God's Son. So when I come to these moments when we pray and we ask, Lord, we don't have any funding. Lord, there's times we don't have funding. You know that Thursday, can I open the door of our offices for a minute and let you in for a second? We had $6,000 in our ministry account. That means we shut the doors in a week. But also, can I let you know that's not the first time we've been there? We've been there a lot this year. We don't have a big, we don't have no, I don't want no golden calf sitting in the bank. I don't want to have no idol sitting, you know. Let me just share something. A pastor told me the other day, he said, Jimmy, he says, the church I pastor needs to shut down and close it and give you all the funds. This church doesn't do a thing. It wasn't that we're great people. It wasn't that I'm a great pastor. You know what it was? He said, you're doing something. He says, at least you all are doing something. Churches are not built. Churches are not to be built to make me feel good. Churches are not to be built for I bring my family and get all that I want out of so I can go to do all that. And I think churches need to be nice. I do. I think churches need to be done well. And if it's a church of higher funds, that's fine. White collar, that's great. That's awesome. There's a lot of things we can't do. And we would not do well with them. But I'm telling you, what God's placed in front of us is such a blessing. When you're down to $6,000 in the account, you know what you do? You go right back here. You go and you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying. And God has been faithful over all these years. God has been faithful. When New Life started, it's still hard, but it was harder in a different way. We weren't even sure what God wanted to do with everything. But we stayed patient, had a lot of things we had to work through. People come up to me and say, your wife is not a pastor's wife. She's not going to make it. You've heard me say that. You're not a preacher. You're not going to make it. This place is going to tank. And you know, we're meeting in a little storefront. I have all kinds of people saying things. But you know what? I had to learn one thing. I don't need to hear what everybody else has. I just need to listen. What does Jesus want? What does Jesus want? What does He want? And you do that and you understand it by praying over and over and over, and then going in your own personal times of prayer and fasting. There are things that I'm praying for personally. I'm going to pray a couple of things. I'm going to pray personally for things in my own personal life going on in this time of prayer and fasting. There's some things that I'm going to pray for. There's a few things that I'm seeking in my life. And I think there's a door that I'm knocking on as well. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it until God says no or yes, or you need to change direction. $6,000 in the bank tells me this. $6,000 in the bank tells me, it doesn't tell me how good we are. It doesn't tell me how bad we are. It doesn't tell me that we're not good with our funds. It doesn't tell me that we don't do ministry good. What it tells me is God is drawing us to a place to continue to lean on Him, that He has it. Just because you go through a rough time doesn't mean He's abandoned you. It means that you just need to dig down and you need to be faithful, because I'm telling you, God loves to give. He loves to give, but He's going to test your faith from time to time. We had a great golf outing yesterday. Not sure where we placed financially. If we probably maybe $6,000-$7,000 is what our lowest event that we do, and it's good. It's going to go. It should be good. But I did call the Southern Baptist Convention. Actually, one of the groups there. Sin Relief, and I said, listen, our back's against the wall, brothers. This is the way it is. And so I said, I've done everything I can do. I think my team's done everything we can do. I can't keep just sharing the story with the same people over and over right now. People's done through, come through. People's wrote a few checks, got us through. But it's just really been really tough this year. And so right now, from a Thursday's conversation, and they were supposed to be meeting, talking to us. Listen, this is how I got. I hope they're not listening. I hope they're not watching me today. I called them up, and I left a message on the phone all the way down to Atlanta. And I said, this is Pastor Jimmy Staten from Huntington, Indiana, and New Life Fellowship Church. Somebody needs to get on the airplane to fly up here because you just need to do that. Click. And so they, I got a phone call this afternoon. Who, what, who are you and what do you want? And I said, listen, this is what we do. We're very small. We're not like First Baptist Dallas. We're not like First Baptist, like we're, you know, Atlanta and all those. We're just not that way. Love them. Great preachers. Love churches. Love what they do. But we're a small church. But I want to tell you what God is doing here. And they heard what we were doing. They said, you got to be kidding me. So long story short, they are coming up here. Somebody's flying up here in Fort Wayne at the end of September. But I called back again. Now I know his first name, and he did something he shouldn't have did. He called me on the cell phone. And I said, Sammy, this is Jimmy. Hey, I said, I don't want to be a nuisance, man, but our back is against the wall. Brother, he goes, and this is what he said. I said, I really don't want to be a nuisance. And this is what he said. This is where I can tell that our hearts were joined together. He said, hey, buddy, how bad is it? And I said, it's pretty bad. What's it take you to get out? What's it take you to get you back on your feet? I said, it's going to be about 30, 40, 50,000. He said, I don't know if we can do that much, but I'm telling you. He goes, we have a big meeting tomorrow about some giving out some funds. We don't normally do that before. We're looking into being a partner with them as well. And we will be a green dot on the state of Indiana for the Baptist for Ministries. We'd be the only one in the state of Indiana. There's only like 14 across the country, and we'd be one. So we're working on that. But he said, so when we pray and we start to this praying today, and we go through it, just pray tomorrow that I get a phone call tomorrow. It would be nice if they can bring us. I said anything will help. Anything will help, because this is what I know. I'm going to share this story. I'm going to keep sharing it. But God is still the giver, no matter where it comes from. No matter where it comes from. No matter where it comes from. And so the last piece I'm going to share about these things as well, because y'all need to know that Fort Wayne Rescue Mission also, if you know Fort Wayne Rescue Mission, yeah, okay. So Fort Wayne Rescue Mission, their director, if you know, I've talked about him, Donovan, Coley there had retired, and I told him, I said, well, before you go, because I wasn't sure if he was going to go back to Jamaica, because he's Jamaican, I said, if you go, man, you've got to come in, you've got to talk to him. I need some personal time. We've been friends for 10 years or so. He's helped me a lot. Here's what he's done. He's not going back to Jamaica. He started his own consulting firm helping nonprofits, and I said, number one, you've got to put New Life on the list. So we worked out something. We're getting the grant through Center of Congregations, working through that with a guy named Matt. We're praying about that because you know what a consultant costs? $30,000 to $50,000 for 15 months. And that's not the expensive ones. But he will do a lot less than that for us. And we're getting the grant to do a lot of that. Because here it is. Me and our team, we're just hitting the ceiling. We need to go beyond what we are. And I believe God wants us to get better. And I struggle with that, folks. I struggle with that. I said, Lord, what do you mean? I mean, I got all these other things. And the Lord reminded me of when he had told Moses, he said, your boys don't know how to fight. There's some battles they got in front of them, and they don't know how to fight. You get over there and you train them, because there's some battles that are coming up. And the Lord just put that up on my heart to remind me that we need to continue to be in that kind of training, even when it's fundraising. So we're going to work on that as well. So those are some things we're going to pray and fast for. Pray and fast for these things here. So here's my challenge for you today on a personal level. You heard today just some things that God is doing. Man, he's awesome. Yesterday, I don't mean to keep lingering, but yesterday, a couple of days ago, last week, I just needed to get some time with the Lord. That's it. I didn't want to talk to anybody. So I took my New Testament Bible and I went over here to Yeoman Park. I parked my car. I pulled out my Bible, meaning the Lord's going to take a walk and we're going to talk. And you know, sometimes I got a lot to say. But you know, God's Word has a lot more to say. And we walked and we talked and he talked through his Word. And he just reminded me through the book of Revelation, because that's my minutes where I'm going in my, just, wow, he's awesome. And he reminded me all the stuff that he's got planned and all the stuff that he's doing. This is so small to him. So we can trust him with all of it. Amen? Come on now, I'm a Baptist church, if we just what? Come on now, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to love the Lord. We're going to work through it. And listen, there's been times we've had to love the Lord. You know, we love the Lord through his blessings, and we love the Lord and we worship him through joy. But there's times that we have to learn to worship him and love him through times of sadness and heartbreak. But we also have to learn how to trust him in moments where we're not sure. And that's why I want to challenge you today. If you're not sure that he's listening to you, you're not sure that he even knows your address anymore. If you're not sure that he can help you with the problem that you're going through, let me remind you. He said, and we said it earlier, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You ask and you don't receive because maybe you're asking for in the wrong motives. But he also says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Jesus himself says, ask and you shall receive. Do you believe he is who he says he is? We think he can save so-and-so, but he can't save my kid. He can't save my son or my daughter because they're just too far out there. Or he can fix this person's finances, but can't help this person with their finances. Can't. Yeah, they may. The Lord may have healed miraculously a medical issue or a cancer issue, but can't fix one in my life. No, listen, God is the same God. You know, there was a time where a man said, "Is it you, Jesus?" And Jesus says, come on. And that guy stepped out and walked on water. You know what he did? He ignited his faith. He said, if it is you, Jesus, I will do it. Maybe we need to get back to, some of us need to get back to that. Believing who he really is. Sometimes we carry things way too long. And we're not turning it over. Folks, there's some things that are just hard to turn over. Relationships are number one. Whether it's a marriage, it's a child, a grandchild. But I'm telling you, Jesus does a lot better with them than we do. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll give an opportunity today. We will be doing communion here in a moment.